So I'll just invite you up.
Yeah, sure.
He's gonna come up to sing out.
Absolutely.
The first half of our song and then second the song. Might make the kids cry. Sing out.
My brain doesn't know what day it is.
Yeah.
Ah, good. I'm a bit ready for a bit of a sleep in. Yeah. I've been busy so much.
Yeah. How did you?
It was fun.
Was it? This one was Doctor's.
Yeah. Cicero, yeah. Abracanda, which is nice that it was close to home.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. We're going to get started in just under a minute, so if you haven't yet, come grab a seat, get yourself ready. We'll be started soon. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church for this wonderful moment of Easter. If you haven't met me yet, my name's Michael. I'm one of the ministers here, and it's lovely that you can gather together with us. I'd like to extend a special welcome to those who are tuning in to our live stream. It's lovely to have you with us in this way and for you to be able to participate in our service, even though it might be from a distance. Friends, we're going to begin our time together with a couple of hymns, but before we do, just a couple of quick housekeeping things. By way of facilities, if you ever need the toilets, there's a little hallway that goes just past the glass-walled foyer there that have got the men's, ladies, and the disabled toilets all through there. And parents, if you ever need to make use of like a room to feed a baby or maybe to change a nappy, the parents' room is just there. And we have a room where you go up the same hallway towards the toilets, but if you turn up the stairs and go to the right, there's a room that's open up there which has got the audio from down here being fed in. And there are glass windows that you can see out. So if you would like to make use of that, parents, just to give your kids a bit of space to run, you're very welcome to. Though, of course, feel no pressure to. We love having kids down here as part of church, even when they make noise. That's okay. Dear friends, the COVID restrictions, as you may be aware, have eased for places of worship in Greater Sydney, which means that for these first two hymns, we are able to stand together, we are able to sing together, and we are able to sing without masks. Though, of course, if you feel more comfortable or you have a particular health concern, you are welcome to continue to wear a mask. But there's no requirement for us to do so. So please, won't you stand and we'll sing our first two hymns in celebration of our Lord Jesus who died for us.
Please stay standing for our next song.
Lovely to see you all today. I'm going to invite all our little boys and girls to come and sit up the front for us today. So head down the front. We've got a nice, lovely coloured mat that you can come and sit on. And we'll sit down nicely. Thank you, Hamish. Can you come sit down nicely for me? Now, I am going to need a volunteer. Would anyone like to help me with our first thing that we're going to do today? All right, Flick, do you want to come and help us? I've got something. I've got a bag. And I have some clothes in here that we're going to put on. And we are going to try and guess what Flick's dressing up as. So when you have an idea of what Flick might be dressing up as, you can put your hand up. Adults, if we get to a point where we need your help, I'm happy to take hands from the crowd as well. All right, let's have a look. Ooh. Oh no, I broke it. All right, you ready? The first thing is a brown jacket. You ready? Oh, it's nice and big. Ooh, do you want to put it on for us? Oh, other arm. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. Oh, that's really big, isn't it? Kind of looks like a dress, doesn't it? Oh, does anyone have an idea yet? Hamish, what do you think? Oh, you and Ezra think it's Jesus? Yep. Oh, let's keep trying. You ready? Oh, we've got a lovely hat. All right, let's put it on. Ooh. Ooh. All right, let me get one more thing out, Rhiannon, and then you can have a guess. You ready? Oh, hang on. Where's your hand gone? Stick it through. Oh, can you hold it out? Can you hold it up to your eye? Oh, why don't you put your hand up if you have an idea what it might be? All right, Brandon, you've had your hand up for a little while. Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes. She does look like Sherlock Holmes too. What is Sherlock Holmes's occupation? What does he do for a living?
He is a detective.
Do you think Flick looks like a good detective? I think she's going to make an excellent detective today. Now, I want you to have a think for a minute. What's something that detectives do? What do they do? Emmy, what do you reckon? Look for bugs, potentially. Finn, what do you reckon? They look for clues. Thank you, Flick. You can have a seat. Rhiannon, what's something that detectives do?
Detectives solve mysteries.
That's very true. Well done. So today, we are all going to be detectives. We're going to find some clues. We're going to look at some clues later. Now, I want you to have another thing. Put your hand up. Who is someone that we talk about at church on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday? Tell me. Rosie, who do you think? That's right, Rosie. Jesus did die on the cross, didn't he? And Jesus is someone that we always talk about on Good Friday and Easter Sunday at church, isn't he? Well, today we're going to do some investigating. We're going to find some clues. We've got a big box of clues over there. And today we're going to find some things out about Jesus. But now I'm going to send you back to your seats. We'll be back soon. And the next time we're back, we're going to find some clues about Jesus. All right, head back to your seats.
It's always really hard to follow something like that. Thankfully, it's not something I've come up with, but we're going to be reading from God's Word. And our first reading this morning is Mark chapter 15. And reading from verses 1 to 20. So if you're following along, Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin, made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they'd mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Thanks, Brad. I've just got a couple of things to bring to our attention by way of announcements. First thing to say is, like I flagged at the beginning, the COVID restrictions in Greater Sydney have eased to the point where, like you've already seen, we're invited to stand and sing together without masks. But what we still need to maintain is our deliberate contact tracing procedures. So you'll see around other QR codes to scan, to sign in using the Service New South Wales app. We have a secondary system which we are using as well, but can I please encourage you to make the most of those Service New South Wales QR codes to sign in so that we can keep track of everyone who's here and follow anyone up. And as is the ongoing practice of our churches, if you're crook or if you've got any kind of cold or flu symptoms, please stay home and tune in on the live stream. Okay, that's the first announcement. Second one, daylight savings is coming up. Who knew? And the clocks go back, right? I don't know, because my phone just does it by magic. I don't know about yours. I don't have to keep track of this by and large. I just trust whatever my phone says. But just in case you need to manually update anything, come Sunday, you need to put your clocks back an hour or you'll be very early to church. But you can hang out with me. I'll be here early because my phone fixes it by magic. Second announcement. Third one, a bit later on in the service, we're going to be handing out some little activity packs for the kids to use during the time. So I think there's going to be a couple of things to colour and draw and be a part of. And this is to try and help kids engage with the whole of church and not just send them away, and to keep little hands busy so that they can stay focused. So that's going to happen a little bit later. Tara and some of the helpers are going to come around and just float. And so parents, if you see some adults giving your kids stuff, that's what that is. You don't need to be alarmed. Fourth announcement is that our normal custom in our churches is to take up a collection when we meet to support the work of ministry here and further afield with our mission partners. Today, however, when we take up a cash offertory, we won't be passing a basket or anything around, but we have a Perspex box by the door that you came in. The cash offertory that we'll be collecting today will be going to support a training conference called SWETCON, Southwest Evangelism and Training Conference, a training conference run by Christians in the Southwest for Christians in the Southwest of Sydney, to equip regular, everyday Christians to serve in their churches and share Jesus with their neighbours. And our hope is that by making a contribution towards this conference, we can make it more financially accessible to more of our neighbours. Okay, so that's where the cash offertory is going today, but of course I'll remind you about that in a little while. Final announcement. Our churches are excited to have our Good Friday picnic back on again this year. It's been a tradition for a while that we had to suspend last year, but we're back. And we're very excited to be going to the Reeves Dairy Farm in Narellan. They've invited people to come along and join us there. If you'd like to be a part of that and need details, you're welcome to come see me after the service. But that's going to be a very exciting opportunity. It's very laid back, very casual. There's not going to be any formal upfront stuff. It's bring your own lunch, hang out at the farm for a few hours and enjoy one another's company. So that'll be happening from 12:15. And again, if you need any more details, you can see me after the service. I think that's everything from me, which means, Tara, we've got another... Do we need the kids back up? All right, so little people, come back to the mat. We've got to find those clues.
All right, come and sit back down on the mat. Is everyone ready to be very good detectives? Are you excited? Okay, can you see my big red box over here? It says big box of clues on it. It's got all our clues in it for today. Oh, come and sit down. All right, so I want to tell you a story. Today, as I was moving this box up here, the front, it took me 3 hours because it's so heavy. Does it look heavy? Does anyone think they're strong enough to move it? Oh, there's a few people. All right. Finn, do you want to give it a go? Show us. Can you show us your big muscles? Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. See if you can pick it up. Oh. Good job. Hang on. Don't look in it yet. Oi, oi, oi. That's actually really embarrassing for me, isn't it? Oh, maybe a bit later we can try, but we need to have a look in our box and get some clues. So I need one helper. They're going to get one clue out for me. Annie, do you want to come and do it? All right, I'm going to tell you which one to get out so we can get them out in order. Are you ready? Come around this side, Annie. All right. Do you see this one? Can you get that one out for us? You ready? Ooh. What is it? And there's a piece of paper on it. Maybe we'll grab the paper off it and I'll read it out. Annie, do you want to put the crown on?
Well.
Okay, that's fine. So we had a piece of paper on our crown that's going to give us a clue. Oh, thank you so much, Becky. That looks amazing. Thank you, Annie, for getting that out of our box. So our clue says Jesus was from King David's family. And it has a Bible verse. It's Matthew 1:1. So Matthew 1:1 tells us that everyone was waiting for a king that was from King David's family. And Jesus was from King David's family. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? All right, let's get our second clue out. Tommy, would you like to have a turn? You ready? Come down. I'll show you which one to get out. All right, that's this one right here. Are you ready? Do you want to grab it for me? You got it. Good job. Pull it out. Oh, it's a certificate. Let's have a read and see what our certificate says on it. It says, this certificate is awarded to Jesus Christ for always obeying God. Jesus got his own merit certificate. Let's read what the piece of paper says back. Tommy, would you like to hold the certificate for me? Okay, I'll hold it. Do you want to hold it? Here you go, honey. Oh, good job. So this one says that Jesus always obeyed God. Now, what do you think that might mean? What do you think it means for Jesus to always obey God? Does anyone have any ideas? It's a tricky one. What do you reckon, Finn? Yeah, always listen to him. He always did the right thing. He always did what God asked, didn't he? All right, should we get our third clue out? All right. All right, Hamish, would you like to come and get it out? All right. Oh, the piece of paper's come off. Oh, that's the other one. All right, there you go. You ready? You got it? Oh, thanks, Apollo. So we've got a little cross, don't we? Do you want to hold the cross up for us? Let's read what it says, hey? It says, Jesus died on a cross. Mark 15:25, which I think we're going to hear a little bit later. So Jesus died on a cross. That's really interesting, isn't it? Hey, Mish, it's all empty. Can you come and sit down for me now? Thank you. So Jesus died on a cross. So we've learnt three things, haven't we? Jesus was from King David's family, which is really important. Jesus always obeyed God. And Jesus died on a cross, even though he did always obey God. Are you having a look in my box, Apollo? Now you might be thinking, Tara, this is all really good information. You've given some really good information today, but why does that matter to me? Why is that important to us about these three things? Well, we're going to do our third talk in a little bit, and we're going to find out why it's important to us. But first, we're going to learn our song. We're going to learn the first half of our song. So I'm going to invite Fee up. If everyone wants to give her a big clap to encourage her to join us. And I would like all of our kids, we're actually going to stay on the mat today because we're going to learn some action. So we'll come and stand up on the mat. Adults, if you'd like to stand as well, feel free to sing. You don't have to do the actions. That's fine. All right. Are you guys ready to do actions? Shake your arms out. Shake your legs out. Shake them up high. Shake them up low. All right. Are you ready? Send you back to your seats and we'll be back soon to figure out why this matters to us.
I'm going to start by reading a couple of verses from Romans chapter 8. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is also at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus. Thank you that even when we turned away from him, you sent Jesus, who being in very nature God, humbled himself to become a man and to die for us so that we may be reconciled with you. Thank you even more that he didn't stay dead, that you rose him from the grave, conquering death and sin forever. Thank you that because of Christ's sacrifice, we can come to you openly in prayer and that you lovingly listen and mercifully grant. We pray that as we celebrate Easter this year, that we would be constantly reminded of the gracious gift of Jesus. Dear God, we thank you that we live in a country where we are not so heavily impacted by this pandemic, governed by leaders that let us open the Bible and learn about you. Help us to make the most of this privilege and take every opportunity to share the good news of Jesus to the people in our parish and further afield. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world during this time, especially those who live in places where it is dangerous to follow you. Help them to stand strong in their faith as they live out your mission, and protect them through this life as they hold on to the hope for the new creation you've created. Father, we bring to you all the nations who have been severely impacted by COVID. We pray for their overloaded healthcare systems, that you may have your hand over them, and for their stressed governments, that you may be giving them wisdom as they figure out what's best for their people. Help them to lead with humility and compassion, that they would not be led into corruption, but seek to see genuine improvement in the health of their countries. We also pray for all the regular people in these places, Lord, who are having to stay away from their loved ones during this Easter. We pray that you would be sustaining them as they seek to glorify you. Thank you for technology, so that even though we're physically distanced from each other, we can still talk to one another and join together. Heavenly Father, thank you most for Jesus, that he does advocate for us and he knows how we feel. And in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
All right, last one. Kids, come back down the front. My detectives, let's head back down. I'm going to move our big box out of the way. Ugh! It is. Come and sit down for us. All right, now I have a big piece of paper, and I'm going to need two volunteers to hold on to it for me. Brianna, would you like to come and help? Oh, Annie, you can hold this side. Brianna, do you want to hold this side for me? And we're going to do some more detective work. We're going to do some guessing. All right, so sitting down on your bottoms, please. And I'm going to draw some pictures, and you have to guess what it is. Once you think you know what the picture is, you can just yell it out. Are you ready? All right. I'm going to draw over here. You ready? All right. Oh, by the way, I'm not very good at drawing. All right, let's see if I can do it. Oh, any guesses? Any adult guesses? What do you think, Emmy? Bark? Oh, a bag? A fish? Oh, gosh. All right, let me try again. Hamish, what are you thinking? Oh, Brandon, what are you thinking? It is a ring. Thank you, Brianna. You've saved me. It's a ring. Do you think a ring is a good gift to get? No? What about the adults? Put your hand up if you'd be happy with a nice diamond ring. Oh, some of them. Yeah, follow. All right, let's try another one. Are you ready? This one should be easier, hopefully. All right. Ooh, it is a square, isn't it? Let's try again. Ooh, let me. It is a house. All right, try this time. If someone gave you a free house, would that be a good gift? All right, go sit down for now, Hamish. All right, quick, go sit down. All right, adults, put your hand up if you'd be happy with a free house, if someone gave you a house. Yeah, that's a pretty good gift. All right, should we try one more? All right, are you ready? Oh, thanks, Apollo. You ready? Okay. Oh, this one's a bit trickier. Oh, it's another square, isn't it? That's very true. It is a rectangle. Thank you, Brianna. Oh, any ideas? All right, hold it up high. It is a TV. Yes, good drawing, Tara, but good guessing, guys. Well done. It is a TV. All right, put your hand up. If someone gave you a free TV as a gift, would you be really happy? Do you think that's a good gift?
Yeah.
Do you think it's the best gift? Interesting. Well, I've got some news for you. This ring, this house, this TV, none of them are the best gifts. Can you rip up that piece of paper for me? Rip it. Do you want to rip it, Annie? Well done, because none of those are the best gifts that we can get. All right, sitting back down on your bottoms, please. Thank you so much for your help, Annie and Brianna. Well, I have one more piece of paper, and it's going to tell us. No, I'm going to hold this one. It's going to tell us what the best gift is. Let's see. All right, if you can read along with me. If not, you can do really good listening. All right, let's read it. Jesus died so that we could be friends with God. Let's read it one more time. Jesus died so that we could be friends with God. And guess what? This, being friends with God, that is the best gift that we could get. Better than any other gift that we could think of. Being friends with God is the best gift that Jesus could give us. All right, do you want to go and sit down for me, honey? Go and sit down, Hamish. Quick. We're almost finished. All right. So the best gift that we can get is being friends with God. And that's the gift that Jesus gives us when he died on the cross. Now, I want you to have a think for a minute. What is something that you do? What do you do when someone gives you a gift? What do you say to them?
Thank you.
What do you want? Put your hand up for me. What did you say, Emmy?
Thank you.
That's it. You say thank you, don't you? When someone gives you a gift you really like, you say thank you to them. So what do you think we might need to say to Jesus?
Thank you.
Thank you. We need to say thank you to Jesus for the awesome gift that he's given us. Yeah, good job. All right, go sit down, please, girls. Now there's another thing that we have to do, and it's in our song. I'll show you the action. It goes like this. This is the action in our song for the other thing we need to do. Does anyone remember what it is? Oh, I just said it. It's remember. We need to remember Jesus, don't we? When we forget about Jesus, we're not very thankful, are we? So we need to remember Jesus. All right, have a think for a minute. What are some ways that we can remember Jesus? Brianna, what do you think? That's a really good way. Brianna said, make sure that we read the Bible. That is a great way to remember Jesus. What are you thinking, Emmy? Being like Jesus, that's right. We do remember Jesus when we act like Jesus did. Well, I've got another way. Let me show you. Flick, what are you thinking? That's right. When we trust in Jesus, we remember him. Well, I have a way that we can remember Jesus. I've got some bookmarks for you today. So when we bring the packs around a little later, we've got some bookmarks for you. And actually, I want you guys to hang your bookmarks up in your room. And then when you see your bookmark, it's a good remembering tool to pray and say thank you to Jesus, isn't it? So I'm going to hand those around later. You can colour them in. But first, we should pray and then we're going to sing. So let's put our hands together and pray. All right. Dear God, thank you so, so much for sending Jesus. And thank you that that is the best gift that we can get. Please help us to remember Jesus. Amen. All right, let's stand up. We're going to do our actions again.
Yeah.
job, guys. All right, you can head back down to your seats now. Good clapping, Apollo.
Okay, we continue where we left off before in Mark chapter 15. So reading from verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there.
Well, good morning again, everyone. We're going to have a quick reflection, a time of reflecting on that those passages that have been read out to us from Mark chapter 15. But before I get into it, let me lead us in prayer that we might ask God to help us understand the significance of that first Good Friday. Let's pray. Now, Father, thank you for the great reminder today that the Lord Jesus has died for us. Please help us to understand more the significance of this moment, to remember him, to be thankful, and to obey in his name. Amen. Friends, I'm not sure how you would describe a good Friday, a good regular Friday. I don't know what the rhythm of your week looks like. For me, it's relatively straightforward because Friday is my normal regular day off. So most Fridays are good for me to start off with. But if I were to imagine a very good Friday, let me walk you through a journey. I sleep in because my darling wife gets up and gets all four children ready uncomplainingly all on her own. There's no noise because they all were perfectly obedient. She gets the older two off to school, and then I'm awoken to the bird song and the gentle caress of sunlight on my face in my own good time. And when I open the windows to look out upon my yard, the yard fairies have done all the yard work for me. There's nothing to be done on this Good Friday. No work, no job. So Helen and the little ones and I sneak off for a sneaky brunch date at one of our favourite cafes. Maybe even better, the two younger ones are babysat by a grandmother, and we just get to hang out, the two of us. It's ridiculous, right? It's an imagination, so I can do what I like. And then after that, when we pick up our older two children from school and bring them home, there's no quarrelling, no one's tired, no one's grumpy, everyone has a great time. We settle down to a peaceful family dinner where everyone likes the meal that we've made and everyone enjoys it. And then we watch a nice family movie. And towards the end of the movie, the children say, "Oh, Mother, Father, we're quite tired. Could we go to bed early?" And then they happily brush their teeth and go off to... I can't even finish, right? It feels ridiculous. But for my imagination, that sounds like a very good Friday. I don't know what your imagination of a good Friday might look like. Perhaps it's like mine, perhaps it's quite different. But I can't help but feel, even as I describe an imaginary Friday like that, no Friday could really be that good, could it? I mean, really, it just sounds ridiculous. And yet this first Good Friday that we've heard read about for us from Mark chapter 15 is even better than my dream Friday. For different reasons, but this is the best Good Friday imaginable. And Mark, who is one of the compilers of the eyewitness testimonies of Jesus in the Bible, which we call the Gospels, there's four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Mark's account of Jesus' life gives us, in particular, two amazing reasons for why that first Good Friday was so good. And in our reflection today, I'd like to just highlight those two reasons why that first Good Friday was so good. And the first one is this. If you're taking notes, this is probably the first heading to write down. The first reason that first Good Friday was so good was because it shows us that Jesus is the servant king. Jesus is the servant king, which is a good news for us because tyranny is not that hard to imagine, is it? You don't have to be a close student to history or even just current political events to know that it is very commonplace for those in power to use their power to take advantage of those without power. If you've been following the news lately, we could see any number of tragic examples of this even from our own nation, let alone the far more common ones that run throughout human history. We are familiar, unfortunately, with tyranny, and yet we see something different with Jesus. As we read Mark's whole account of Jesus' life, we've been working through it over the last few months in church, as we read through Mark's whole account of Jesus' life, we see again and again that Jesus has all of God's power and authority. And if you've been in any of my scripture classes this term, those words are probably familiar. Because we've been learning in Scripture this term that Jesus has God's power and authority. We've seen it again and again that Jesus has the power to make the blind see, the lame walk. He has the power to tell a storm to shush and it listens. He can drive away evil spirits. He can bring the dead to life. Jesus has all of God's power and authority. Mark's account of Jesus' life starts with a king declaration. The very first sentence in this account of Jesus' life says this is the good news or the gospel of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Both Messiah and Son of God are king titles. From the beginning, there's a spoiler. Jesus is the king. And you see it throughout the story as Jesus displays his power and authority as the king over heaven and earth. And yet, did you see this is how he goes out? This is how the one who has power and authority to bring the dead to life and stop storms with a word, this is how he dies, in humiliation and torture as he dies on a cross. But even throughout this account, we keep being reminded in ironic ways that Jesus is king. You might have noticed when the soldiers were mocking him, they put the crown on his head, they dressed him in a purple robe and bowed down. I mean, they're teasing him, right? They're making fun of him. But it's one of those moments where actually they're more right than they realize. Jesus is actually the king. They shouldn't be hitting him, but they should be bowing down and paying homage to him because he is the Messiah, the Son of God. He has God's power and authority and deserves to have people, all nations, come and pay homage to him. Even a little bit later, the sign that the judge Pilate wrote over Jesus as he was crucified, the king of the Jews, was again, Pilate's making fun of Jesus and actually the whole Jewish nation. It's kind of a racial slur. But again, it's truer than they even realize. Because hanging here in humiliation and shame is the Messiah, the Son of God, with all God's power and authority, submitting himself to shame and death. It's a very odd way for the King of Kings to go out, isn't it? Not how people with power would usually go out if they had a choice. But Jesus himself explained months before this even happened what was going to happen and why. To borrow some of his own phrases from a bit later in Mark's gospel, in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said that he came not to be served, as most rulers do, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we see here on a cross the servant king with all God's power and authority submitting himself to the lowest death imaginable. But that sentence I just quoted from Jesus tells us the second reason for why this first Good Friday was such good news. Not only because it shows us the servant king who gives up his power and authority in service of others, but it shows us why he came to be served. And it's in the second part of that sentence, to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, I'm not sure how familiar you are with ransom. I hope you're not intimately familiar. Personally, it's just from movies that I know of ransoms, right? Ransoms are those moments where someone writes a letter with the cutout bits of writing from the newspapers or the magazine that sends it in, or makes a telephone call with a voice garbler. So it's, if you want your bunny again, give me $100 million. Sorry for bunny lovers. I'm sure all the bunnies are fine. But the experience of ransoms in movies means that it doesn't feel real, certainly for me as I read this. It doesn't feel like a pressing need, that I need to be ransomed. But it's a very common experience for Jesus' day. This was just kind of how you treated conquered kings or important families. If a family had a squabble, well, you just kidnap someone and hold them to ransom. This was a very commonplace thing, a way of redeeming people who were enslaved or prisoners of war. And Jesus uses this to explain why the King of Kings would give up his life to pay a ransom for many. And we get a great little example in Mark chapter 15 that was read out for us that helps us to see what this means for Jesus to pay a ransom. There's a little side character. You might have missed him as Brad was reading it out. A little side character in Mark chapter 15 named Barabbas. Let me reread from verses 6 to 15 just to refresh our memories, because we might have missed him as we went past. Mark chapter 15 from verse 6. It says, "Now it was custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. 'Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?' Pilate asked, knowing that it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. 'What shall I do then with the one you call king of the Jews?' Pilate asked them. 'Crucify him,' they shouted. 'Why? What crime has he committed?' asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, 'Crucify him!' Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified." Did you notice the exchange that happened on that first Good Friday? We've got two characters here. One, Barabbas, clearly guilty. He's described as a murderer, and no one in the whole proceedings disputes that. Right? The crowd don't protest. No, Barabbas didn't do anything wrong. Everyone just accepts, yeah, he's a murderer. No argument. Jesus actually keeps coming across as innocent. Did you notice Pilate's question? Why should he be killed? What's he done wrong? There's no answer. There's no accusation made. They just say, oh, just kill him anyway. Jesus is clearly innocent. Barabbas clearly guilty. And yet the guilty man gets to walk free, because the innocent man died in his place. Very vividly, we see Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, with all God's power and authority, gave his life as a ransom for, well, first off, Barabbas, the only one who actually deserved the death penalty there. And now, not many of us would describe such a gross miscarriage of justice to be a Good Friday. That's a pretty sad day, right? When a guilty man goes free and an innocent man dies. That's not a good day. That's a horrible day. But it takes quite a different flavor if we reflect on the more uncomfortable connections that exist between Barabbas and ourselves. You may not immediately connect with Barabbas, but I think Mark wants us to. Because you see, we too, when we stand before God for judgment, like Barabbas, stand guilty and deserving of death and punishment from God. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We have all failed to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and all failed to love our neighbours as ourselves. And if we reflect a little bit, honestly, I think most of us can appreciate that this is probably true. Let's do an imagination exercise for a sec. Imagine that the little slide up behind me disappears, and instead what's projected up there, and this is kind of my worst nightmare, what's projected up there is all your thoughts and desires. The secret things you've done that you hope no one ever sees. I don't know about you, but I'd be at least embarrassed, at worst, utterly ashamed of what would be projected up there. Because I have failed time and again to love God with all our heart, my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and failed to love my neighbor as myself in my actions and my thoughts. Even if you haven't committed murder, we're more like Barabbas than we might initially think. And like him, we stand guilty before God and desperately in need of someone to pay our ransom, to set us free. And did you see how the story played out? Though Barabbas was guilty, he got to go free because Jesus took his place. And this, of course, is that second big reason why that first Good Friday was so good. Jesus died on the cross to take the place of guilty sinners like Barabbas and like you, like me. Though he didn't deserve it, Jesus took the place of the guilty so that anyone who comes to him and depends on him, what we call faith, might be pardoned, forgiven by God, because the King of Kings died in our place. This is like what we said before from Mark chapter 10, what Jesus said himself, that he came not to be served but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Now, so what? What difference does it make that the King of Kings should be a servant king and pay our ransom? What difference does that make to this Good Friday and all the other not Friday days that we live? Tara's already given us a couple of great clues, and they're exactly right, that it is fitting when we recall this first Good Friday to be thankful and remember Jesus. I think there's a third step, that thankfulness and that remembrance must then lead to obedience. It is not merely enough to listen to Jesus with appreciation and go, I like what this Jesus teaches. I like what that Jesus did. It is not enough to come along to church whenever it might be most convenient for us to consider and maybe even call ourselves Christians. Remembrance of Jesus, thankfulness for Jesus must translate into what the Bible calls discipleship, following Jesus. Living like Jesus is actually the servant king over your life rather than you. He calls the shots rather than you, and your life is lived in obedience to him for his glory and not your own. A bit earlier again in Mark's story of Jesus' life, he said to the crowds that were following him, if anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. To truly be a Christian, we can't just call Jesus our Savior, who paid our ransom. We must also call him our King. Looking at his cross, you can see the kind of King that he really is, a servant King. Unlike the others, full of integrity, full of righteousness, full of sacrificial love. And that's a king which I can testify it is a joy to serve. This Friday is a good Friday, friends. Much better than days off and sleeps in and brunch dates. It's a good day today because we have another chance to remember and be thankful for our servant king who gave his life for our ransom. And it's another opportunity to commit our lives to obedience to this King, in whose service is perfect peace and true freedom. Amen. All right, friends, I believe we're almost at the end of the formal part of our time together this morning. We're going to have one more song, which in a moment I'll invite you to stand and sing, but just quickly, by way of kind of clarification, like I said at the beginning, the collection that we're going to be taking up after this song as you exit the building will go to not the work of the ministry here or further afield with our mission partners, but to support the Southwest Evangelism and Training Conference, equipping Christians like us to serve in our churches and our communities. And finally, kids, if you've received an activity pack through the rest of this service, during the song is now the best time to put your clipboard back in a plastic sleeve with the pencils or crayons, what you've been working on, your bookmarks or your activity sheets, that goes home and goes on the fridge or gets hung up in your room so you remember. But the activity sheets and the pencils need to be returned. All right, friends, let's stand and sing our last song together. Our Good Friday picnic coming up at 12:15 at the Reeves Farm. If you need details, come see me after the service. And remember, Easter is traditionally a two-part affair. We'll have another set of Easter services on Sunday, 10 o'clock here and 4:30 down at Appin. It'll be lovely to see you either at the picnic or then. But for now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
Amen,
Amen, friends.